Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
And now, back to a man who didn't let being named one of the 100 most important radio talk show hosts in America go to his head.
Woo! Woo! Yes! In your face!
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. My pleasure as always. Happy 4th of July, ladies and gentlemen, kiddies and cousins, Americans, wherever you are. Happy 4th of July. And if you're not an American, but you just love everything America stands for, wherever you are, you can celebrate with us too. And somebody who's here to help us celebrate right now is our good friend, Dr. Bert Folsom. Bert is a longtime original member of our Brain Trust, professor of history at Hillsdale College, the historian in residence at the Center for the American Idea, author of a number of books that, and a new one coming out anytime, very, very soon, I should say. And also, he's the resident historian of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. More importantly, he's our good friend. Bert Folsom, welcome back to the show.
Wow, Jim, yes, and being interviewed by one of the top 100 radio hosts in America. That's the top honor of them all.
Well, it's good to have you back, Bert. It always is, and you've done a number of shows with us over the years, but nothing is better to me than when we do our 4th of July show together. And, Bert, you know,
yes.
I was talking to Don Lambro in the previous half hour, chief political reporter for the Washington Times, and we were talking about the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. What must those guys have been thinking? There's no doubt that they knew the potential impact that
that they knew what the potential impact was, Bert, on their lives when they signed that document. And you know that they knew that, their families knew that before they signed it. And when they signed it, you know, I'm just trying to imagine what must have been going through their head at that time. What do you think?
Jim, I just got back online.
Yeah, sorry about that. I think we had a little challenge there. I was just talking about the 56 signers, what they must have been thinking. There's no doubt in anybody's mind that they knew what was going on when they signed this document. They had to know that they couldn't have been giddy with excitement.
No.
It had to be a very grave moment for them, even though they knew that they were doing the right thing. They knew also that this was a very dangerous thing for them, wasn't it?
Well, it was, because you not only had the most powerful military nation on earth that was ready to come over, and they were over a short time after the declaration was signed, but you had a large number of people in the United States, the loyalists, who were on the side of Britain. So
mm-hmm. They were their next door neighbors, weren't they?
Right. So you had formidable adversaries, and the people who were most likely to be loyalists were those who were benefiting from Great Britain, which means there are lawyers and other officials, prominent people, who had money and that sort of thing. And so you are up against the establishment, and you're up against the most powerful military nation on earth, and that is formidable, yes.
Right. Well, and exactly. And I mean, the idea that what these guys were signing, as you say, everybody wasn't excited about that.
Well, you're denouncing the king of England.
A lot of people thought it was folly, didn't they?
They did. They at the end of the Declaration, of course, it says we pledge our lives, fortunes, and sacred honor, and that's exactly what they were pledging: their integrity, their fortunes, their family, and a lot of them had to make those kinds of sacrifices. I mean, Benjamin Harrison, the governor of Virginia, had to just sort of sneak out of town in the middle of the night when the British came in to Virginia with his family and abandon his residence. And so he and a lot of other people made enormous sacrifices.
Well, absolutely. And you know, when I think about what these guys went through and what they later went through, and I'm sure you know about some of the things that those guys went through later. I mean, someone did a follow-up research on what happened to all the different men, all the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence, and some of them, their families and their children, their estates, they lost everything.
They did. They died young, prematurely.
Hold on to that thought, Bert. We're going to take a quick break, folks. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Happy 4th of July. I'll be right back.
I ain't got no woman just to call my special friend.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me today on this 4th of July, celebrating a great day in American history. Clearly, by the way, folks, Bert Folsom is our guest, Dr. Bert Folsom, the resident historian of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust, the professor of history at Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan. The author of Myth of Robber Barons and Urban Capitalists and other books, and a new one coming out. Bert, tell us about the new one you got coming out in another few months.
Another few months. It's called New Deal or Raw Deal, and it's on the 1930s, Franklin Roosevelt, who is one of, the, of course, the best-known presidents in U.S. history. But there were problems in his administration, which are often overlooked, and one of them was that the Great Depression was perpetuated. It's the worst economic time in U.S. history, the 1930s. Mm-hmm. And unemployment was as high as 20%, even in 1939. And
wow.
The policies simply didn't work, and they're policies that hurt small business and large business. The tax rates were way too high. We just simply taxed people to the point that they didn't want to start businesses.
Well, that's exactly what happened, and the two things that happened that you've told us about many times before was the Smoot-Hawley tariff bill, which was passed in, 1932 or something like that?
Yes, that came in Hoover's administration, technically 1930.
And then Hoover raised taxes, too, didn't he?
He did. He did. It was terrible. Our top rate when Hoover came in was 24%. That is, nobody... no matter how wealthy you were, had to pay more than 24%. And under Hoover, that went up to 63%.
Where did that come from? I mean, make somebody do something like that? That makes no sense, does it?
Well, it doesn't. Our founders would have been astonished at something like that. I mean, the signers of the Declaration, the idea that you would pay at a certain point more than half the money that you have coming in to the government. The founder, it comes from the idea that, hey, the rich can afford it, they don't need it,
mm-hmm.
and we can use it for government programs. But the founders, as you know, had a conception of a very small government, and in fact, this founding generation paid off the national debt within the lifetime
mm-hmm.
of some of the founders. They fought
wow.
a war, they won it, they signed a constitution that's the greatest document to govern a country in history, and then they paid off the entire national debt within the lifetime of James Madison.
Well, when you hear some politicians these days, Bert, talking about raising rates on the rich, and there are some out there who are doing that right now.
They do.
What do you think about that? As a historian, you look back on what happened and when this happened in the past. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, you don't know whether to laugh or cry. It's about the worst thing you can do. You're sending a message to people saying, if you invest more, if you expand, and you are successful, we're going to take more of your money.
If you take risks.
Yeah, so if you take risks and you win, we're going to take more of your money. And so the natural mentality is, well, why take risks? And when we've had tax hikes in the past, the worst, that one that I just mentioned under Hoover, but we did that in World War One. We thought, hey, let's hike taxes, and sure enough, we had a recession and had almost 12% unemployment in the early 20s, and then under Coolidge, we had the tax cuts. And then we got back to 3% unemployment, and then lo and behold, we get into a little trouble. We raise taxes again, and we're over 20% unemployment with tax rates at 63%, and then Roosevelt raised them to 79% at the top level.
Wow. Well, you know, Bert, I was in Denmark a little over a year ago. I gave a speech over there in Copenhagen, and the reason they had me come over there, me and a handful of other folks, was to get us to talk to them about how to become more entrepreneurial.
Yes.
And while I was there, I discovered two things that one I was surprised about, one that I wasn't surprised about. I knew that they had a high tax base over there.
Yes.
But what I didn't know was, what I didn't really appreciate was how much how strong the fear of failure is over there.
Okay.
And so these people are basically not capable of embracing entrepreneurship, because if they fail, they can't recover from that. Everyone I talked to said it's virtually impossible to recover from a failure in business over there, especially a bankruptcy. When I talked to them about making more money and, you know, growing their business, getting bigger, adding a new store, whatever, they kept saying, well, you know, it'll just cost me more taxes. Because the tax base over there makes ours look like no tax almost. If that's the case, why don't we have politicians who look around the world and see people who are already doing what they want to do and see whether they think that's a good idea or not? I mean, it's like when they propose these things, Bert, they don't realize that, you know what, this has already been done, it didn't work.
Well, it's incredible, Jim, because in historically in the 1920s and then in the 1980s under Reagan, when we cut the tax rates, we actually generated substantially more income. In other words, for the government, more revenue was generated when you cut rates, because all of a sudden people said, "Oh, well, now I can make more of what I invest in," and so they would expand. And then the whole idea is that you get 25 or 30% of something is something, but 80% or 70% of nothing is nothing. And so the government ended up getting a lot more revenue when they cut the rates.
I love the story about the blue collar guy who was asked if he thought they should raise income tax on rich people. How do you feel about rich people? He said, "No poor man ever gave me a job." Stand by, quick break, right back with Dr. Bert Folsom. I'm Jim Blessingame. Happy 4th of July, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blessingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for staying with me. Happy 4th of July. We're visiting with our good friend, Dr. Bert Folsom. And, Bert, what do you think? By the way, Bert, I want you to give you a chance to tell folks about this, the college that you work, where you work, where you teach, the Hillsdale
College. Hillsdale College, it takes no federal funds, Jim.
Yeah, how about that?
No federal funds, which means that the college has to raise millions and millions of dollars privately to recruit students who have federal fund offers from other colleges,
which is
a challenge. But there are enough people who believe in this kind of education that we make it work. It has 1,300 students.
Hillsdale.edu, right?
Yes, www.hillsdale.edu. We are open for business, 18-year-olds all over the country.
Google Bert and you can find out more about his books. You can find his books on Amazon and all the other online stores. Bert, What do you think the founders would say about this country right now? If they came back right now and they saw the debates that were going on, the presidential debates that were going on, and you had people talk, you know, the issues about taxes and universal health care and those things, where people act like certain things are rights, you know, like we have the right to the things maybe that we don't have the right to. What do you think they would be saying about these things?
Well, the founders would be impressed with the prosperity of the country and that we span the continent. They would be impressed that that happened, but they would not be impressed with the attitudes that we have in politics today, because when they designed the Constitution, they explicitly wanted a very limited federal government, and they outlined that in Article 1, Section 8. They were very nervous that if you had situations where people could, and politicians, could get use taxpayer money to give benefits to their constituents, that the whole system would break down. That was an explicit concern. You can read about it in the Federalist Papers and other documents that they wrote.
That's just about where we are right now, isn't it, Bert?
Well, it is, and that's the 1930s was the big decade where that started, which is one of the reasons I wanted to write on the 1930s. But it has accelerated today, and so debates over federally funded health care, they would find appalling. They believe that charity and private charity was the way to take care of individual needs.
Mm-hmm.
And the founders were always willing to give to charity, and their idea was that churches and that voluntary groups would be able to take care of the problems that we have in society. And, of course, we started the Red Cross later and the Salvation Army and other groups, and you have those kinds of groups where you deal with individual who have huge needs, and you have catastrophes like floods and fires. You deal with them through those kinds of organizations,
yeah,
and not through a federal government where it is an infinite effort to try to get taxpayer money.
Something along those lines, Bert. The United States, Americans give more money per capita than any other, and nationally than any other country in the world, from individuals.
Yes,
because I saw a report on this in the last year or so, and because there was a complaint that our government wasn't giving as much as some other governments were giving, for example, to the cyclone that hit the island, the earthquake, and then the tidal wave that hit the islands. They were complaining because the United States had not given as much money as the government, but the point that wound up coming out is that we, as a citizens and as a government, we gave more than anybody, but it's just that the citizens in America don't expect our government to do everything for us. And whereas in other countries, the citizens don't give as much individually, but they expect the government to. And of course, then they have to be taxed for that.
Well, that's where you ran into it, Denmark. And the founders would be very nervous that what you see now is in 30 years you will see the United States is Denmark.
Yeah.
That you're one generation off from having a Denmark.
If we don't change some things, and that's the reason why I think this next election, Bert, may be the most important election in my lifetime. What do you think?
It's very possible. It depends, because you have, among the candidates, you do have one that is talking about raising taxes again at a time when we're on the brink, perhaps, of recession. In the past, that has been a recipe for absolute disaster, Jim.
Yeah. Bert, I got to wrap things up. Thank you for being here. Good job today. It's always
good to be your guest,
Jim. Great to have you with us on the 4th of July. Thanks a lot, Bert. Bert Folsom, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. Bert Folsom, a great American. Happy 4th of July, Americans. Wherever you are in the United States, listening on the Internet around the world, happy 4th of July. Happy Independence Day. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I got another hour live after this.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.